Welcome to the State of the Line podcast. I'm your host, Christine Pike, and today we are going to jump right into a discussion on the economy. And with us is NCCI's Executive Director and Senior Economist, Stephen Cooper. Welcome, Stephen.
Thank you. Happy to be here again.
Would you say it's an interesting time to be an economist?
I'd say most times are an interesting time to be an economist, but especially now with so much going on, it is a very interesting time to be an economist.
Well, that's why you're here. We want you to tell us what is going on with the economy right now.
Yeah. So early in 2025, the narrative surrounding the U.S. economy was that of exceptionalism. The U.S. economy had continued to go strongly in the face of headwinds, vastly outperforming developed market peers since 2019. That narrative, however, has been replaced by one of economic uncertainty and caution as fiscal policy changes were announced and put into effect pretty swiftly here at the beginning of the year. Since that time, economists have sharply lowered their forecasts for gross domestic product growth, GDP growth in 2025, and sharply raised their probabilities of a recession. So now uncertainty reigns supreme. However, the data has yet to show any material evidence of impacts from these policy changes just yet. So we're kind of sitting in no man's land.
But didn't we just see the economy shrank in the first quarter? Was that a sign or an indicator either way?
So yes, we did see the economy shrink in the first quarter, but no, it's not quite the sign that some people might have thought. So in the first quarter, we did see minus 0.2% growth at an annualized pace. That's from Q4 of 2024 to Q1 of 2025. And this may be interpreted by some as confirmation of those lower GDP forecasts or those higher recession probabilities. But we would urge a little bit of caution around that interpretation. So while the economy certainly has been influenced by the announcement and the news and these fiscal policy changes, the impacts that we saw in Q1 are a little bit more complex than that. So diving in, as companies and individuals pre-bought goods to get ahead of tariffs, we saw net exports in the first quarter subtract nearly 5 percentage points from the economy. That's pretty unprecedented. But if we look at a more focused measure of the economy, real final sales to private domestic purchasers, that's a mouthful, but really it's just the sum of consumer spending and business investment, the two most important areas of the economy, that grew at a solid 2.5% pace in the first quarter. So the large distortions from trade activity are likely to wash out later in the year. So we're still going to be looking for more signs as to what is actually impacting the economy as we go forward.
Well, let's shift a little bit to workers' compensation. We all know that the labor market is the most important sector of the economy for workers' comp. So what are we seeing there?
Yeah, this area has really been kind of the epicenter of that statement. Haven't seen any signs of material weakness just yet. The labor market has been averaging about 125,000 jobs per month so far through this year, and the unemployment rate has remained stable near 4%. This resilient performance has kept payroll growth elevated near 5.5%. For workers' compensation, thanks to strong wage growth, offsetting the little bit of moderating that we've seen in employment growth. These may be comforting data points. However, we'd urge a little bit of caution again, because the labor market is traditionally a lagging indicator for the overall economy. So we're going to have to continue to watch the data to see if labor market performance continues to hold up, or if the uncertain backdrop starts to impact the labor market data later this year.
And Stephen, we've mentioned economic uncertainty quite a bit in this conversation. You said the word uncertainty also in your State of the Economy back in May during the presentation that you gave. Can you tell us a little bit more about what might be contributing to this uncertain environment?
Absolutely. So the largest contributor to uncertainty around the economic outlook now in 2025 has been tariffs and trade policy. Keeping track of the current state of trade policy has been incredibly challenging, hence why it's been such an interesting time to be an economist. And, it's not just been for economists trying to assess the outlook for the economy, but think about from business leaders' perspectives as well. Attempting to plan for the future, make decisions about what could be coming. Functionally, tariffs are a tax on imports. And the way that they work is that the purchaser of an imported good, whether that's a U.S. company or a U.S. customer, they pay the tax at the border before that good is allowed to come through customs. Because of this, they function very similarly to a consumption tax, like what we have at the state level for sales tax, where the purchaser goes to the store, they pay for the product, and then they pay the sales tax on top of that. What we often see with tariffs is that they raise the cost of imported raw materials and components, and that can increase production costs for domestic firms. As prices rise for both producers and consumers because of this extra tax, we can see output fall, we can see fewer goods produced and sold, and both of those are negatives when we think about the economy overall. It leads to lower GDP and potentially some higher prices for price-sensitive consumers.
And again, with respect to workers' compensation, are we expecting tariffs or the trade policy to impact workers' comp?
Yes. So as we're thinking about workers' compensation, tariffs are going to have both direct and indirect impacts that we need to think about. So first, directly, what do we have in workers' compensation that is imported? We have durable medical equipment, we have supplies, and we have pharmaceuticals. Some portion of these coming in from other countries are used in workers' compensation, and they could face higher prices from that extra tax that will need to be paid by the importers. You know, these categories make up roughly 15% of workers' compensation medical costs overall, so not a large contributor to medical expenses as we see them for workers' comp in the aggregate. However, there are also going to be some indirect impacts that we need to look at. So higher prices for medical equipment and supplies may increase prices down the road for physician, hospital services, as well as long-term care. Now, these round out the other about 80-85% of our workers' compensation medical costs. And so that's where we could see some of those indirect prices end up coming through later on down the road. So we're going to need to keep an eye out for the trend in medical price inflation. And luckily, we have just a tool for that on NCCI.com, our Medical Inflation Insights Report. The next one's going to be published next month. So keep an eye out for that, especially later this year, as we look for any of these price impacts coming through for workers' compensation.
That was an excellent shameless plug, Stephen. Well done.
Absolutely.
Would you agree that a lot has happened since you gave the presentation back in May?
Yes. The other part of why it's such an interesting time to be an economist is that, news doesn't have a very long shelf life these days. And so while we gave that presentation, just several weeks ago, there have been some very important updates that I want to talk about today. So in the weeks following that presentation in mid-May, we saw a 3-judge panel at the U.S. Court of International Trade rule that the tariffs imposed under the International Emergency Economic Powers Act of 1977 exceeds the administration's authority. However, that was quickly sent to the Court of Appeals, who allowed the tariffs to remain in place while the appeal ultimately plays out. Appellate arguments are expected to take place later this summer. I believe we're looking at late July is the time frame for when those are going to be heard. And so while the Court of International Trade's decision did not affect all of the tariffs that had been imposed, such as those, against China under the Trade Act of 1974 or the specific product targets of steel, aluminum, and automobiles under the Trade Expansion Act of 1962, they did impact everything under the IEEPA. It's about 2/3 of the overall tariffs that had been announced so far. So whatever the ultimate outcome of these cases may be, tariffs have been a cornerstone policy of the administration and may be pursued under these alternatives, the Trade Act of 1974 or the Trade Expansion Act of 1962, if they're ultimately deemed illegal under the IEEPA. So one way or another, we believe that the weighted average effective tariff rate for 2025 is likely to be higher than that of 2024. Now, on the economic data front, we're expecting to start to see impacts in the data over the next 3 to 6 months. There's going to be a little bit of a lag, so we're going to need to continue to watch the data through the second half of this year to see how these impacts are ultimately going to unfold for the economy, hence a lot of the uncertainty that we talked about.
Certainly, and we'll make sure to keep an eye on that, for the next 3 to 6 months. But to wrap up, can you summarize the current state of the economy? Summarize that for us in 3 sentences. Can you do that?
I'll do my best. I probably won't give it justice, but you know, thinking broadly, we have the narrative in 2025 moving quickly from U.S. exceptionalism to that of significant uncertainty. You know, higher prices from tariffs have threatened the economy in the near term, while changes to the supply of labor may impact economic growth in the future. Despite this uncertainty, if consumers continue to weather higher prices like they have for the past couple of years, the economy could be better positioned to avoid a recession or some of the worst case outcomes that have been out there in the news and the media. However, that resilience may be further tested. Tariffs are driving prices higher, dampening demand and potentially tipping the economy into contraction later this year. At the same time, persistently high budget deficits have been contributing to elevated interest rates, which could further constrain economic growth and investment. So really a lot to be watching for and a lot to be looking at, and we'll continue to keep the industry updated as more information comes in later on this year.
Stephen, that was a little bit more than three sentences, but certainly very thorough. And as always, we appreciate so much your being here on the State of the Line podcast.
I did my best, and thank you everybody for listening.
We'll make sure to look out for the labor market insights and also the medical inflation insights reports that you just mentioned. Again, thank you for being here today. And if you would like to get in touch with Stephen Cooper, you can reach out to him at insights@ncci.com. I can attest to the fact that Stephen answers every single email and he welcomes your feedback.
I do. Please reach out.
And we are also looking for you to submit topics of interest if we've covered them and you want to hear about them again, or if we haven't and you'd like to pitch something new, please reach out at insights@ncci.com. We do look forward to hearing from you. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
This podcast is the copyrighted material of the National Council on Compensation Insurance, 2025. All rights reserved.